Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Nonstop sports talk just got bigger. The Wake Up Zone, midday 180, 3HL, and the Big Six. Nonstop sports talk from 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. 104.5 The Zone.
It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. It's also Wednesday at 12:18 p.m. to be exact, which means it's time for our weekly visit from Greg Cosell from NFL Films. It's brought to you by the Huffaker Group. I'm Chad Withrow in studio with you. Jonathan Hutton will be back next week. Paul Kuharsky will be back on Friday. So, Greg, you're stuck with me today, and my apologies.
Wow, this is a little intimate, you and I. You know, we should probably chat about some music or something, you know?
Yeah, we can mix it up. We can talk some country music, maybe some Bruce Springsteen, whatever you like, Greg, we can talk about.
All right, well, I'll let you start then, Chad.
Okay, we'll start with football and just kind of see where it goes. How about that?
Let's do it.
Specifically, we'll start talking Titans and Chargers over in London. I want to ask you first, though, because we have Blake Bedingfield, who's a former director of scouting for the Titans, on every week. And he was talking about Corey Davis yesterday, and he said that he feels like from what he's seen from Corey Davis, his ceiling is a really good number two receiver in the league. He doesn't see number one receiver potential from him. Based on what you've seen from Corey Davis so far, what are your thoughts on him and what the Titans offense are what they're getting out of him right now?
I'd say based on production, he's right. I would say based on traits, I think he's more. But at some point, traits must equal production. So if you look at him a year and a half into his career, and we can debate potential reasons why he's not more productive, and that's certainly smart, reasonable people could easily disagree on that. But I would say production clearly indicates that he's not reached the level at which he was drafted. But I still think that he has traits to potentially reach that level.
You know, and we're talking about traits here also. I know this is intangible, but I'm going to get to a trait with this. Tajay Sharpe seems to be right now the guy that Mariota trusts. He trusts him to get open. He trusts that he knows how to get separation against zone coverage at times also. Is that a trait that you see with Corey Davis? And is that the case with Tajay Sharpe? And maybe is that one of the reasons for that trust between Mariota and Sharpe is that he knows how to get a little bit of separation?
Well, I think they run different kinds of routes given what they're asked to do in the context of the offense. But there's no question that Mariota clearly feels comfortable throwing the ball to Sharpe. You know, I would agree that I struggle a bit with Corey Davis at this point in exactly what he should be and how he should be used. It's not really a vertical offense in a strict sense. Now, he's not a burner. You know, he's not a 4.35 guy, but I think with his size, stride length, and he does have enough speed that I think there's a vertical dimension to his game that really hasn't shown up yet, and that could be for any number of reasons, but ultimately, the quarterback has to feel comfortable throwing you the football. And if that doesn't happen, or that doesn't happen consistently, I mean, we all thought after the Eagles game that that might be sort of the starting point, but it hasn't turned out that way.
Greg, a week ago, we talked about this matchup against this Chargers defense, and there was some thought that this could be a Deion Lewis type of game. It was a Deion Lewis kind of game. What did you think about their utilization of Deion Lewis and the schemes they used to feed him the ball in this one?
Well, in my opinion, and now we're getting into traits and we're getting into the player, I think Deion Lewis is the best back on the roster, and the only question with him regards workload given his size. It's not likely given his size that he'll be seen as a guy you can run your offense through, but I think he's the best runner of the backs, and I think he's the best receiver of the backs. So ultimately, I don't know where they see this now with a bye week, and with a bye week, what teams do is they do a ton of self scouting. Derrick Henry, to me, if you're going to use Derrick Henry, to me, he's a gap scheme runner. And by that, I mean power, counter. He's not a zone runner to me. Now, can he run some inside zone? Yes. But I think he needs a downhill roadmap to generate the kind of velocity and momentum that he requires. And that is better provided by power runs, counter runs, where the guard pulls and you pretty much have a designated point of attack. To me, he's not an outside zone runner. He's too long-legged. He's too gangly. He's not a change of direction runner.
Greg, let's look at a couple of plays that all the Titans fans are talking about that I'm sure that you watched. I want to start with the touchdown to make it 20-19 to Luke Stocker on the fourth and goal play. A lot of times when at least when I see a play like that in that situation, it's something that's schemed up where you have a pretty good sense someone's going to leak wide open into the back of the backfield, especially if you design something to Luke Stocker, who doesn't catch a lot of passes. What did you think about that play call and specifically the scheme that got the ball to Luke Stocker to score that touchdown late in the game?
Well, the play wasn't, it was designed to go to Luke Stocker, but it wasn't designed in the way people are thinking about it. Like, why are we trying to throw it to Luke Stocker? That's a schemed tactical play. You see a ton of teams in the red zone run plays like that, where it's a run formation. It's almost heavy personnel. The defense in that situation at the 1 yard line, it's very hard to play both pass and run because you're at the 1 yard line. So it puts defenders in conflict. So, That play that they scored with Luke Stocker, every team in the league runs it, and it's a very difficult play to stop.
What about in terms of putting the defense in conflict? The final incompletion of the game where the Titans go empty, do you feel like they put the defense in conflict on that play, or was it telegraphed a bit on the incompletion of Taywan Taylor? Yeah, the two-point conversion, the incompletion of Taywan Taylor, where they go empty with Marcus Mariota.
There's different philosophies when you get in those kinds of situations. I mean, they basically ran individual routes and expected someone to create enough separation and the ball to be thrown. That's one philosophy. Another philosophy is certainly to do things, because you're going to get man coverage at that point, is to do things where you try to create some natural rubs or picks, which they didn't do on that play. So there's different philosophies and different approaches as to how you do that. One reason teams drop back in those situations, let's say as opposed to having the quarterback roll out, is they want to have the whole field available. When you roll out, you cut the field in half, and there's less room to work. This is a philosophy thing, Chad. When it works, it's a good philosophy. When it doesn't work, it's the wrong play. But it's all based on philosophy of how you want to approach that.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films is our guest as we break down the film here every Wednesday. A week ago, Greg, all the talk was about the Titans' offensive line surrendering 11 sacks against Baltimore. Night bounce back for them, and especially because they finally got something going on the ground in this game. What did you think overall about the performance of the Titans' offensive line against the Chargers?
It was solid, and I think that Mariota in the pass game helped it a lot because I thought that he played with a better sense of timing and rhythm in this game, and the ball came out. He still needs some work, obviously, and this is not, we don't know if this is the kind of game that he's going to build on and be better when they come off the bye, but I think he helped the offensive line. Obviously, they were playing with the backup at left guard. He struggled a bit, by the way. He had a tough game, both run blocking and in pass protection, but Mariota was able to compensate for it at times, which good quarterbacks do when they play with timing, and the run game was efficient. I think it was obviously more efficient when Lewis was in there. He's just a quicker, more dynamic back who I think can just get more yards when it's blocked reasonably well.
Greg, I want to ask you about the feel for the game and pocket presence and awareness of the two quarterbacks in this game and the difference between the two.
Right.
With Philip Rivers and with Marcus Mariota.
That's an unfair conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfair Philip Rivers against most guys in the league, and he's been around a lot longer. I get that, but I'm watching Philip Rivers in this game with no running game without Melvin Gordon.
Right.
And seeing what he's able to get done from the pocket with very little ability to move at all at this point for Philip Rivers. And then you see Marcus Mariota with the illegal forward pass where he's in front of the line of scrimmage and he throws it to Deion Lewis. And the first thing, and I'm sitting there in the stadium in London, the first thing I think was, I wonder how Greg Cosell looks at a play like this. Is that, if you see that, is that just a simple mistake, or is that something you look at and say, man, we really have to ask questions about a QB's awareness at this point in their career if they're making a mistake like that? How do you view a play like that?
Which play are you referring to?
I'm talking about Marcus Mariota, his illegal forward pass. He runs in front of the line of scrimmage and throws it forward to Deion Lewis.
Right, right. I mean, that's a reaction play. But here's what I'll say about, isn't it interesting? I mean, think about it this way. We constantly hear now, particularly with the quarterbacks who are coming out of college, how important it is that quarterbacks be able to run around. And I'm not talking about designed runs. I'm just talking about be able to run around. I mean, we're seeing that with Patrick Mahomes, who's obviously playing great football. But it's fascinating to me that quarterbacks like Brady, like Breeze, like Rivers, you know, quarterbacks like that have played at such a high level and they don't have the ability to run around because they play with such nuance and refinement within the confines of the pocket. And someone like Marcus Mariota, we can sit and debate, as we have, Chad, about, oh, they need to give him more design runs. Okay, we can debate that, but Marcus Mariota still needs to become far more comfortable and poised as a late in the down pocket quarterback. And by that I mean when you have to stay in the pocket and go through your reads and stay comfortable and be able to do that with the composure that's required. You know, someone like Phillip Rivers is an absolute master at that. The ability to stay there and be oblivious in a good way to the people around him. And a lot of quarterbacks who have running ability and have been great athletes since they're 5 years old, they never advance to that refinement in the pocket because they're always out before they get to those nuances.
Greg, let's talk a little bit about the Titans' defense in this game against the Chargers. They get beat deep twice.
Yes, they did.
For touchdowns. When you watch this secondary play, is this a secondary that lacks overall speed?
I don't think either one had to do with that. The first, both times they were in cover four, Chad.
Okay.
And on the first one, what happened is Logan Ryan just had his eyes in the wrong place. They ran a route concept, the Chargers. It was just a two-man route concept where Williams ran vertically and then Keenan Allen ran an out route from the slot. And I think that Rivers baited him a little bit, baited Logan Ryan, and he sort of stopped his feet thinking he was going to attack the out route. And when you stop your feet and there's a vertical route, you're done. That's what happened on that one. The second one was a really well-designed concept by the Chargers. And what it did, without going into all the details, because people can't see it, but it distorted the coverage responsibilities of Jackson and Lewis. And Jackson thought that he was passing Williams onto Lewis, but Lewis actually had his eyes on Gates. But the nature of the route concept and the minus splits closer to the formation and how close together they were, the receivers, it just distorted the coverage responsibility. So neither one was a function of just speed getting beat because they're not fast.
When you watch Jayon Brown play and how the Titans are utilizing him, he seems to be a bright spot for the Titans in terms of his improvement and a more clearly defined role. Have you liked what you've seen so far from Jayon Brown?
Yeah, he shows up on tape. He flashes. Clearly, he plays in the nickel. Obviously, he's not playing in the base, and my guess is they don't want him to. They would like Woodyard and Evans to be the base linebackers in their 3-4. But Brown flashes. He's got great speed. He's got great quickness. You know, I think he's good in coverage. He's a very solid sub-package linebacker.
Every week, we're talking about Rashawn Evans and his development. It seems the Titans are using him more, but maybe giving him a less to think about. Have you seen that at all with him? What did you think of his play on Sunday?
I think he's getting a little bit better each week. Obviously, he's not playing in the sub packages at this point in time. So basically, he's playing inside stacked backer in their 3-4, where he has to be a run defender. That's his primary responsibility, and I think he's getting a little better with play diagnosis, recognition, reaction. So he'll just be an improving player. He's got talent. He's obviously well coached from his days at Alabama. So he'll just be an improving player.
Let's talk a little bit about his days at Alabama, because we have not seen this yet with the Titans, but I know you evaluated him there. Is he a guy with his traits that can help the Titans pass rush in any way?
Well, he did that at Alabama. You know, it's interesting because we talked about that when he got drafted. He actually went to Alabama as an edge pass rusher, and he became a stacked inside linebacker. So he's got those traits, and he was very good at it at Alabama. Obviously, you're just trying to get him up to speed to play his position in the NFL, and that takes time, particularly when there's a lot of key and diagnosis, we say, involved for an inside linebacker in a 3-4. So maybe down the road he'll be used that way, but I imagine that's a little bit ways down the road.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films, our guest here on the Midday 180. Let's go a little bit around the league, Greg. Let's start with the Colts, a 37-5 win over the Bills. A very efficient day for Andrew Luck, 17 for 23, four touchdowns, but maybe more impressively, the Colts averaged almost 6 yards per carry in that game against that Bills defense. What did you like most about the Colts' offensive performance in that game?
23 attempts by Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
That's the key. You know, you can make the same argument about Matthew Stafford with Detroit, 22 attempts, because you can't drop back consistently in this league 40, 45 times. It's too hard. Particularly, you shouldn't with any quarterback, but you shouldn't do it when you don't have a real strong O-line. So now when you're able to play, and their defense was obviously critical here because their defense had struggled, Chad, so now that they could get ahead and not have to have Luck drop back snap after snap after snap is a good thing. And whether they can do that every week, because obviously the Bills have a lower offense in the NFL compared to other teams. So we'll see. We'll see if they can continue to play that way. But that's the key number here, 23 pass attempts.
Let's stay in the AFC South. The Texans beat Jacksonville. Jacksonville continues to struggle. Blake Bortles continues to struggle. What are you seeing in his play this year, Greg? Has he regressed, or is this just the inconsistencies popping back up and maybe some of those inconsistencies becoming consistencies on the bad side?
The only difference is turnovers. Everybody knows what Bortles is. They know what Bortles is. Here's the issue. They can't run the ball. Last year, Fournette was the driving force of their offense. He's out. That's why they traded for Carlos Hyde. And the second part of that equation is even though their defense is still ranked fairly high, they've only created 3 turnovers, and last year they had a very high turnover ratio. So Blake Bortles is no different. It's just that the other parts of the team are not performing. This team is not built around Blake Bortles, as you know, Chad.
No, it absolutely not. They're built around the defense.
And the run game.
Yes.
And where Leonard Fournette's not been on the field.
Well, and let's talk about Carlos Hyde now with Jacksonville. What do you think about that addition and what he brings to the table for that offense? Can he give them that rushing element that they need to succeed?
Well, theoretically, he's the same kind of runner as Fournette. He's not as purely explosive, but he's a between-the-tackles guy. He weighs 225, 230 pounds. It probably tells you that Fournette's not close to coming back, and I think they want Hyde to be the bell cow. And Bortles will play again this week. They're there in London playing Philly. You know, they want Bortles to throw 24, 25 times a game and just not turn it over and have the defense give up, you know, 13, 17 points and win games 23-17. That's the formula. And then they know that. Everybody knows that.
4 straight wins now for the Texans. Offensive line still struggles. What's impressed you the most, though, about this turnaround for Houston that's led to this 4-game winning streak?
Well, this particular week was the same deal that we were just talking about. Deshaun Watson had been throwing the ball way too much. Their O-line can't handle that, and he, quite frankly, isn't ready to handle that. And this week, I think he had 24 attempts. They were able to run the ball. But the key, again, is then defense. To play that way, your defense has to keep you in games. Because, obviously, if you feel like you have to score 30 points in order to compete or win, you're going to have your quarterback drop back more, Chad, because explosive plays in the NFL, percentage-wise, come from the pass game, not from the run game.
So, Greg, Amari Cooper to the Cowboys. Cowboys, obviously, a big-time, big-name franchise. Amari Cooper, a big-name guy. Will this have a big impact when you look at what Amari Cooper has been recently and what the Cowboys are getting and what the Cowboys need in that offense?
Well, he's a skilled receiver. I know his production has been very erratic, but he's a skilled receiver. He was a high pick. Again, it gives them a better player at an important position. You always improve your team when that happens. So Theoretically, yes, it should improve their team. The question is, will it change how they go about playing? Because they essentially have been a run team. I'm not suggesting they're going to be a throw ball team, but we'll see if they feel that they can do some more things. Because I think at his core, Scott Linehan would like to be a one-back, three-wide guy. And now you have another wide receiver and a really good one.
One more for you, Greg. I feel like Washington is the forgotten team in the NFC East. But here they sit at 4-2. Adrian Peterson rushes for 99 yards on Sunday. How are the Redskins getting it done so far this year?
Well, their defense has been better than people think, but Adrian Peterson has sort of been an overlooked guy this year who's actually done some remarkable things given his age and given that he's injured, because he's been, I don't know what his rushing yardage numbers are right now, but I know he's had over 90 yards two consecutive weeks. He's had a couple, he had a 100-yard game. I mean, he has been a guy carrying the ball 20-plus times a game. Pretty remarkable at his age, because their pass game really has almost no explosiveness to it at all.
Greg Cosell, he is with NFL Films. We love his visits with us. Joins us every Wednesday at 12:15 to 12:45. Brought to you by the Huffaker Group. Greg, thanks so much. Next week, we'll have a full cast of characters in here, and maybe we'll get back to that music conversation at some point.
All right, Chad, I really appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, that's Greg Cosell from NFL Films.